The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Wednesday, January 7th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana, will discuss the cash grain market. In agricultural news, CME Group says it wants to limit non-commercial holdings of grain shipping certificates and warehouse receipts. We'll have these and other stories this half hour, and we'll have the latest on South American weather conditions with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Let's check how prices settled this Wednesday afternoon in Kansas City. March wheat, 637 down 33. May, 648 down 33. March wheat at the Board of Trade, 613 and a quarter down 30 and a quarter. May, 626 down 30 and a half. July, 637 and a quarter down 30 and three quarters. March corn, 416 and a half down 11. May, 427 and a quarter down 10 and three quarters. July, 437 and a quarter down 10 and three quarters. December, at 460 and a half down 10 and three quarters. February crude oil, the settlement there 42.63 down 5.95. February ethanol, the settlement 165 and 9 tenths down 4 and 3 tenths. February RBOB trading at 108 and 1 tenth, and it is down 10 and 7 tenths cents. January beans, 9.90 down 24 and a quarter. March, 9.90 down 26. May, 10.01 down 26 and a quarter. July, 10.11 and three quarters down 26 and a half. November of 2009, 10.06 down 29. January soybean meal, 295 down 530. January soybean oil, 35.92 down 113. February live cattle, 85.77 and a half down 277 and a half. January feeders, 94.50 down 162 and a half. And February lean hogs, 63.55 down 40. And those are the Wednesday settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago. A little bit more extensive look at the outside markets for you. We mentioned February crude, the settlement 42.63 down 5.95. The March 47.39 down 5.74. The February ethanol 165 and 9 tenths down 4 and 3 tenths. March 167 and 8 tenths down 3 and 2 tenths. February natural gas 5.87 and 4 tenths down 10 and 9 tenths. February RBOB at 108 and a tenth, and it's down 10 and 8 tenths. The March 112 and 6 tenths, down 10 and 8 tenths. February heating oil, 155 and 2 tenths, down 7 and 4 tenths. February propane at 77 and a tenth, and it is actually trading up 4 and 3 tenths. Silver contract for the month of March at 11.10, down 34 cents. Gold contract for February, $841.70, down $24.30 on the day. Looking at Mike Sola's two-state forecast tonight, he says in northern Illinois, partly cloudy, elsewhere mostly cloudy, with widely scattered flurries, lows ranging from 10 in northwestern Illinois to 25 in the south. Tomorrow in northern and eastern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, with some lake effect snow showers. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, highs ranging from near 20 in northern Illinois to 40 in the far south.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You can now follow the markets on any telephone. Dial us up at 217-333-3434 for our free AM 580 Agricultural Market Analyst Portal. We've got the opening and settlement numbers daily, as well as key analysis from our stable of market experts to keep you informed. We update the feed twice a day at 10:15 a.m. and 3:15 p.m. so you can make smart marketing decisions. Get on the map. Call us today at 217-333-3434. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, and forgive me, my voice, it's horrible.
Well, we will put up with it because we want to hear what you have to say, and I guess we should probably go ahead and begin with the crude oil. Crude oil futures lost over $5 today, as you heard earlier, and economic worries and as well as a domestic build at the front of the burner for the loss, it looks like to me. Especially that build, surprising given that, at least in my neck of the woods, you could buy a week ago gasoline for $1.43.
Yeah, it has a tremendous influence on the corn and the soybean market. And, of course, when the stock market saw the crude oil drop as well as the weakness in the jobs report, we did see profit-taking spill over in the grains. This has been a wonderful rally for the corn and soybean and wheat farmers in the Midwest. We did see cash movement on Monday and Tuesday, and this also helped turn the market around. But when the crude oil saw the inventory, it dropped, and it also put additional pressure from commodity funds that were very aggressive buyers on Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
And actually, the crude oil build was astounding. Says that they rose 6.7 million barrels, and the forecast was only expecting a 900,000 increase.
Yeah, and there's some background news that supports the crude oil, of course, with Israel and the Gaza problem, Palestine. Russia's shutting the natural gas off to the Ukraine and also to Europe. The U.S. government is filling the inventories and their strategic reserves and economic and political problems in Nigeria. The market has had a nice rally. It has created a price rally at the gas pumps, which is unfortunate. But we are down an astounding 5.60 cents dollars a gallon, so to speak. And this just was more than the commodity market needed after the tremendous bull market buying by the commodity funds.
Well, I kind of looked at it this way. If we're looking at this build in crude oil, that means that it's not being blended into gasoline. And that sort of makes sense, because if the RBOB is, as it is today, 58 cents below ethanol, it just doesn't pay to blend.
Well, that's an economic problem. There is a mandate where the refiners and distributors do have to put a certain percentage of ethanol in the gasoline mix, period, and if they have to lose money, that's part of the equation at the final pump price. The big thing is that it helped create lower prices in the past, and it'll also create lower prices in the future. And unfortunately, there's these tremendous economic swings and turmoil in the marketplace. But it is common that we are seeing problems in the export community with corn. We're seeing problems with feed companies and feed users and end users in the feed industry. And also, we're seeing problems, of course, with the industrial use as well. Farmers did sell some old corn. Believe it or not, the price of corn yesterday was still higher than a year ago. If we made money, that indicated we made money this year with a better basis level. and the flat price was higher than a year ago at this time. So people did sell corn and soybeans in the market.
The interesting thing to me about this rally that we've been seeing is it really hasn't been a real huge increase in total open interest. The last time we were at these levels, open interest was a lot higher.
Yeah, fundamentally, corn and soybeans were too cheap. We've been blessed by having the Chinese as a steady buyer of soybeans. It has been extremely dry in Argentina and Brazil and other growing areas, Paraguay, Uruguay, and South America. The focus is, of course, is that one model increased the rain slightly in late afternoon yesterday. Basically, it didn't verify that change. It's rather stingy, and the American model at the noon hour said that there'd be probably 35% to 40% coverage, at least by my meteorologist. There were several commodity advisory services. I think Mike Palmerino is one that was talking about bigger coverage, but my meteorologist said about 35% to 40%, but that was enough with crude oil down to create selling into the close.
Well, given we had this very big rally, huge rally yesterday, and today we had this setback, but we didn't actually set back in corn and beans as much as we rallied yesterday. We didn't give it all away. How much emphasis do you want to place on today's action?
Well, it's a wake-up call that the market can go down, and it is a wake-up call that for those that didn't sell corn and soybeans and need to raise money in the next 30 days, that opportunity wasted is an opportunity wasted. I guess my general feeling is that I think we will see some support by the weather forecast from South America. I think we'll see some support by a lower production estimate, both on corn and soybeans, and the Informa people will come out on Thursday with their guest estimate. And I think the final thing here, Dave, is that crude oil does have a tremendous influence on it, but it is rather cheap to start with here, and I think OPEC is trying to talk about more meetings, and we do know that the government's going to put out a lot of stimulus packages, but the market doesn't like to have bad earnings from large corporations, doesn't like to see Alcoa come out with 15% layoff in some of their workforce, so the market is struggling here. My general impression is we will see improvement in energy demand, and I think it'll take place in the next 35 to 40 days.
All the private estimates had to be in to Dow Jones this morning. They were collecting them up. What do you think the reports should look like when they come out, either late today or tomorrow?
Well, I'm a big believer that the crop is going to be smaller, mm-hmm. both in corn and soybeans, and we do think that the demand side of the equation in corn is probably going to be pulled down. But a smaller crop should make the market nervous because a year from now we are going to see demand. There's a feeling that the USDA in their outlook areas is still going to try to paint a picture that corn demand will pick up late next year, and that should encourage demand usage for corn.
All right, Paul, we'll go ahead and let you go. As always, it's great to talk to you.
And thanks for putting up with my squeaky, weaky voice here today.
You're so welcome. Paul Cooley of ADM Investment Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois, and he joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In agricultural news, The Chicago Board of Trade is seeking to limit the number of grain shipping certificates and warehouse receipts that speculators can hold, a move analysts say is a continuation of the exchange's attempt to restore confidence in its agricultural markets. The CME Group Incorporated, which owns the Chicago Board of Trade, said yesterday that it has asked federal regulators to limit holdings for non-commercial purposes of the delivery instruments for Chicago Board of Trade corn, wheat, oats, rough rice, soybeans, soybean oil, and soybean meal contracts. Non-commercials include index funds and hedge funds that generally do not want to be involved in the delivery process because they are not interested in owning physical grain. The limits, which would take effect on February 17th, are meant to improve contract performance. Senate Agriculture Committee member Charles Grassley says that former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack is likely to sail easily to confirmation as the next USDA secretary. Vilsack is scheduled to testify before the committee at a confirmation hearing on January 14th. Grassley also says that he plans on filing legislation this year to ban meat packers from raising livestock in competition with farmers and to require that a portion of livestock slaughtered by packers be purchased on the cash market. A top European Commission official says the global economy crisis and a downturn in agricultural prices will make it more difficult to secure a world trade pact in 2009. Jean-Luc Demardi, Director General of the European Commission Agricultural and Rural Development Department, says, quote, "It will be more difficult in 2009. Protectionist pressure will increase, which gives so high a value to what could have been achieved in 2008. Meat company Tyson Foods plead guilty, agreed to pay a $500,000 fine, and will serve a one-year probation for a violation of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, which led to a worker's death. The worker, Jason Kelly, died after being overcome by hydrogen sulfide gas on October 10th of 2003 while repairing a leak in a high-pressure steam processor. The $500,000 fine is the maximum criminal fine for such a violation. The World Animal Health Body today says that China should focus on financial compensation for farmers who report new bird flu cases if it wants to stamp out the disease that killed a 19-year-old woman this week. Bernard Vallet says, quote, "If China wants to be sure to eradicate the disease, it must have an efficient compensation system for breeders, and then we could be optimistic to see the disease disappear." Vallet says that whatever measures are taken, there is little hope of seeing a full eradication of bird flu in the world, as there is always going to be a country unable to cope with the virus. The head of Cargill Cotton says that the aggregated positions of hedge funds need to be reported regularly to restore confidence in the cotton market. Gary Taylor says, quote, "Hedge funds need to report exactly what the rest of us report on our positions." Several market participants complained bitterly about the activity of hedge funds, whom they accused in March of 2008 of artificially inflating and distorting the price basis for cotton, which is the difference between the spot and future price. And the beleaguered, federally subsidized crop insurance industry is trying to beef up its defense by hiring former USDA chief economist Keith Collins as a consultant and by releasing a new study detailing its expenses and profitability. In the past 2 years, the crop insurance industry has found itself the subject of a congressional investigation and has given up part of its budget in the farm bill. The Government Accountability Office, the investigative arm of Congress, is working on a new investigation focused on crop insurance agents. A new study by the National Crop Insurance Services claims that from 1991 to 2007, federal crop insurance was less profitable than the property and casualty industry and had lower expense-to-premium ratios than property and casualty. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now with our cash grain analysis is Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons and Delphi Climbers, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I would suspect that you didn't have to pick up the phone quite as much today as you did yesterday.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. It's a little bit lighter in here today with being fairly busy yesterday with our first good, you know, day in the market for some time, and then coming in today and they take half of it away from us. So a little lighter today.
I saw one report that said that surveyed grain terminals reported aggregate corn, soybean, soft red wheat receipts at 2.8 million bushels Tuesday. That's almost 38.5% gain over the four-week average. So, so I imagine that you did that kind of business yesterday as well?
Yeah. You know, I think if the weather was even nicer, we probably would have done more than what we did. But, yeah, yesterday was a big day. We've had a decent cash number for the first time. In probably a month to 6 weeks, Dave, had a decent cash number, you know, running around that 8 to 10%, which here recently our cash number here at Climbers, the ethanol plant, has been running 3 to 5% of our daily cumes.
What was the delivery for from most producers? Were they doing spot or were they going to put some of it away for delivery down the months for you?
I'd say our heaviest was in that Jan, Feb. Some guys look into March. And then that was also secondly our second heaviest month were there in the summer. We did a good deal amount of business for that June, July time frame as guys start seeing what, you know, they're getting close to that 450 area for June and July as of yesterday, before today, but yesterday, and going ahead and locking in those margins and are happy with that.
And what about soybeans? Did you see any of those?
Soybeans, yesterday the processor, you know, their bid was such that, you know, they could net over $10 for old beans, and they were jumping on that. Mm. We came in here today and this morning, and we saw some of the processors really back down their bids, probably got some of the needs met yesterday, and then also we're still here continuing griping that the margins just aren't there for the soy processor. So I think both of those kind of weighed on basis on the soy front here this morning.
My theory is that some of the selling had to do with the taxmen and need for short-term cash basis. What are you thinking that it will take to pry more out of producers' hands?
I think we have to stay for cash-wise here for us. We have to be at that 4.25, I think, to pry much more away from producers. More than likely, I have a stack, an inch thick of 450, which is maybe wishful thinking, maybe not, but that's where a lot of our offers are at, 4.25 and then on up to 450 for old corn. New corn, a lot of guys are getting stuff done at 475 on the board or also cash-wise, maybe that 450 area, and just starting to get some stuff locked in. Might as well, even on the new stuff, it might not be the best returns as we've seen in the last two to three years, but at least you do have positive returns with those values.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons and Delphi Climbers, Indiana. It's National Tempura Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1608, a fire destroyed Jamestown, Virginia, leaving colonists little protection from the winter elements. Later that year, a severe drought what became known as the starving time, killed 154 of the colony's 214 people. In 1784, the first U.S. seed business was established by David Landreth in Philadelphia. In 1827, Sir Sandford Fleming was born, a Scottish surveyor. While in charge of the initial survey for the Canadian Pacific Railroad, the first Canadian railway to span the continent, he realized the problems of coordinating such a long railway. That led him to the idea of time zones, which led to the adoption of the present system of time zones and earned him the title of Father of Standard Time. In 1830, the Maryland-based Baltimore and Ohio Railway, one of the oldest railroads in the U.S., officially began service. On that first day of operation, the passengers were not transported by a locomotive, but rather pulled by horse-drawn carts on the new track. In 1958, ant farms went on sale for the first time. And in 1970, Max Gasker, whose farm in upstate New York played host to the original Woodstock Festival, was sued for $35,000 in property damages by neighboring farmers. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, it continues to be pretty tough, it seems to me, as I've been watching meteorologists and listening to them this week to try to figure out exactly what's going to happen in Brazil over the weekend. Is it a little wetter? Is it a little drier? It continues to waffle around. What's the latest?
Well, I think that the Brazilian picture doesn't look too terribly bad. We are in a drying trend right now. For the next 3 days, we're probably going to see little or no precipitation, and temperatures are going to get back into the 90s across some of the southernmost production areas. But that's as bad as it gets. And this drying trend, by the way, occurs after widespread precipitation occurred in quite a bit of the region late last week and during the weekend. There were some areas that were missed, and those are in western Rio Grande do Sul and a few areas in southern Paraguay. These areas are going to be dry fastest and first, and we will probably see crop stress return for a little while in those areas in the next couple of days. But over the weekend, we will see instability showers and thunderstorms popping up across the region to help start to level out the stress a little bit. And next week, we have a couple of disturbances that will be well organized enough that we should get rain in most of the production area at one time or another. We may not get enough rain to soak the ground enough to improve the subsoil moisture situation, but the topsoil will be much improved again, and crops will not have to deal with a great deal of stress outside of the next 2 or 3 days. So it's really not a bad scenario. Other areas in Brazil will see less precipitation, more sunshine, and warmer temperatures, which should actually be fantastic for a lot of the region. It's been pretty wet, cloudy, and cool in recent weeks across some of the center-south production areas of Brazil, and this change coming up for the weekend and next week will be absolutely perfect for some of those areas. So I think the worst is over for Brazil, at least for a while.
Cordoba, the garden spot?
Cordoba, Argentina, indeed is the garden spot in that country. It stands out like a sore thumb, actually. It is the only place in Argentina's crop country that has saturated top and subsoil moisture. The immediate neighboring area has favorable soil moisture, but it's not quite as good as Cordoba itself. And then you get a little bit further away in southern and eastern parts of Argentina, and we have critically dry conditions. Cordoba is the nation's number one most important coarse grain and oilseed production province. The other areas are important, too, but it's kind of the equivalent of having abundant soil moisture in Iowa and Illinois and having dryness in all other production areas in the U.S. That's kind of the situation that we can compare to down in Argentina. So the dryness is still a big issue, although the big producing states or province are doing pretty well. the forecast doesn't offer a tremendous amount of relief to the dryness in these eastern and southern areas, though, for a while. Next week, Sunday through Tuesday, will probably be the best opportunity for bringing in meaningful precipitation across some of the dry region. It does not look like it'll be great enough to fix that subsoil moisture situation, so at best it'll be a temporary fix, and we'll probably fall back into some more dryness and additional crop stress a little later in the month.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that's today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to all of our agricultural broadcasts on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.